The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your host, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea. And
gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a very special edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I am, of course, as always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And no, I'm not joined by that guy, Scott. I should have played the soundbite, right? Maybe I'll do that. Hold on. I didn't have my soundboard open because I didn't think I was going to use it, but I mentioned Scott's name, and now I should just play the fucking clip, right? My computer sucks today, by the way. It sucks every day.
Scott!
There you go. So Scott's not due to join us today. And by the time you guys get this, I'll be about 30,000 feet in the air. So going down south with the family to the sunshine state of Florida. Giving the mouse a shit ton of my money, but keeps the family happy, keeps the family unit intact. But I cannot deny the fans of good programming. So we are live on Rant EM Radio, but we're not live. So either way, you're getting a new episode. And of course, when I'm alone, you're getting a Philatorial. And I got a lot to say today. A little 3 days grace. I'm going 90s. Alternative today. I never liked that word alternative. I remember as a kid going to like the chain record stores, like Sam Goody and Virgin Megastore and Strawberries and FYE. What was the other one I liked? Though the Caldor had a good, nice music selection too. But like all these sub genres of music, like it's progressive rock, acid rock, alternative rock. You're like, ugh, grunge rock. If you like something obscure, but you didn't know what you couldn't really define the genre. Like, I remember I'm a big Helmet fan. Anybody that likes the band Helmet? I love Helmet. Matter of fact, I opened a couple of episodes with Helmet. I love those guys. I really do. I think Paige Hamilton's an amazing frontman, great guitar player. Frankie Bello from Anthrax played with them for a while. If you know who Frankie Bello is, look him up. If you don't know, I should say, look him up. Right? So now, I remember, like, the first album. I'm like, oh, man, I gotta go get Helmet. Helmet was rock, right? But it wasn't really metal. It wasn't really grunge. It wasn't really alternative. It was, like, prog, but harder. And, like, you go into the store, you're like, oh, you guys got the new helmet? He's like, what would it be under? And I'm like, dude, you fucking work here. I don't. I can't really categorize some of the stuff I listen to because I know I just like it. You know, it's got a certain sound to it, you know? And, of course, they do a couple of good Black Sabbath covers, too, so, you know, I love me some Black Sabbath. So, you know, I hated going to these chain record stores and just not getting help. It would take me an hour to find my fucking CD. Of course, I have to find the most obscure stuff because back in the day, MTV actually played videos for those who remember. And if you were lucky enough at 2 o'clock in the morning to watch Headbangers Ball or 120 Minutes, you either watch some good metal or good rock or you watch some good, like, you know, new wave or they call it alternative, but, you know, new wave and stuff like that. You know, like The Cure and The Smiths and Susie and the Banshees. Yeah, I like all that stuff. I like all that mushy shit. But I like my metal. I like my hardcore, my New York hardcore. I like my punk. I like hip hop. So I like everything except for country. Country music depresses me. Country music is like when you have your life and then you play the record like backwards and it's a cliche. You get your house back, your wife back, your kids, your car, your house. It's all about losing stuff. It's either losing stuff, drinking, or fighting. I like to drink. I used to love to fight, but I just didn't like getting in trouble. And, you know, these country boys, they never got in trouble. I pulled that shit up here up north, half the stuff they were doing in these country songs, I'd still be incarcerated. You know? A lot slower, a lot different in the South. Better food, too, I think. Even though I live in New York and I have, like, you know, my hand on the pulse of every kind of food for near 300 countries, I think Southern food is a lot more better because, it's just prepared more with more love and a different palate, too. So we get some Southern food when I get down to Florida this week. So anyway, enough about Fatty and his food. Let's shoot this shit, shall we? I want to thank everybody who's been giving us feedback about Scott. Scott has been really awesome. He's been helping me a ton. He's very active with the new new portion of the throwbacks, the current stuff. Scott's a little bit more on the pulse than I am. He watches a little more than I do, so if I miss something, he's there, right there with it. He pulls up all the news articles, too, and he's very active in helping me pick out the throwback of the week. So I want to thank everybody who's been giving me nice feedback about Scott. It's been nothing but cool things. If you want to give more feedback, go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave a review, and I'll get into that when I close the show. So it's been working out the last month or so with Scott. You know, I can't believe it's been a month since Mania already, and we're about to embark on another pay-per-view. And it's weird because, you know, normally after Mania, you get that one or two Raws, and you're like, oh, this is the greatest Raw ever, and it goes back to the same old shit, you know? And every year I'm sitting here going, oh, maybe it'll get better, maybe it'll get better. And for the most part, it hasn't. And I'm not going to sit here and take a lot of time up and shit on the product because everybody knows how bad it is but how amazing it could be with all the talent they have. I was telling this to Scott last night on the phone and on another thing that we recorded. I don't think WWE has had this much talent ever in their existence. And they've had talent, like a lot of talent. But I think between NXT and Raw and SmackDown, there is so much talent, they don't know what to do with them. And that's really sad. So I'm excited because I'll be on vacation, but I'll be in my hotel room that night. Probably a little tipsy from drinking at the ball game. But I'll definitely gonna be watching. I'm going to bring my laptop and my HD wire and plug it into the... tap it into the hotel room TV, enjoy some wrestling before I make the drive to Orlando. Now, of course, I want some kind of swerve. I'd like to see the Bullet Club form in some capacity. I thought Gallows and Anderson looked great on Raw, beat up on the Russos. I'm thinking about Vince Russo crying about China. I'm sorry. I'm messed up today. The Usos. Beating up on them, which is pretty cool. I'm excited for AJ Styles in the role that he's in currently. I'm glad Cesaro's back. I'm actually glad John Cena's coming back in a month. And I'm also glad Seth Rollins is coming back. And I heard Randy Orton's coming back. So now we're going to hopefully pick up the pace a little bit, maybe we'll have a good SummerSlam here in Brooklyn. I don't know. You never know. You just be a fan and embrace it and love it like you've been doing since you were a kid. And part of the reason why I'm doing the Philatorial is because I need, well, A, I needed more programming. B, I saw a video that just, you know, took me back a little bit. And I have a couple of cool stories I want to share with you. Funny stories, actually. And that's why I'm doing a Philatorial today. So you guys can get, you know, new content. I can get stuff off my chest. I can be on vacation and not miss a beat. You guys will have new shows and I'll be content. I don't like going away without a show. It's on, I feel unfulfilled. And my wife's like, well, you know, you could take a week off. You know you could take a week off. And I'm like, yeah, of course I can. And it's just, I don't know. The show has been such a big part of me that I feel like if I don't do a show, I'm incomplete. You guys don't get to hear me yell and carry on for 2 hours with Scott, you know, or pick on somebody or, you know, be silly and or be real serious and talk some really cool shit. But I've always said the show is an extension of me, and it is. There's really nothing from my real life to this. There's really not much of a difference. I guess I got a little more mature with age. Not much, but enough to do this and carry on an adult life. Because being a grown-up sucks. If you don't have to be a grown-up right now, don't be a grown-up. Don't. Stay a kid as long as you can. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Do what you got to do. But when you become a grown-up, you got to do grown-up shit. Let me tell you, it's not always fun. It's not definitely fun. But when you get to do shit like this as a grown-up, that's pretty fun. So before I go any further, Facebook reminded me that our buddy Maniac Matt Squires is his birthday today. So I'm glad I'm doing this on his birthday because I got to tell you, I've met some amazing people the last couple of years doing this show. I've made lifelong friends from this show, doing this show, and my peers and fans alike. And I'd say in the last year, I don't think anybody has been more close to the show behind the scenes in terms of morale than Matt Squires. And I say that selfishly because Matt has been in my ear, like on the phone, literally. Like there were times where I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just bored. I can't do this no more. I don't like the nonsense that goes on. I'm sick and tired of work, and I'm sick of this, I'm sick of that, and blah, 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 blah. And Matt's the first one to say, hey, brother, what can I do? Can I talk to you? Let me just talk. And he would just call me randomly to talk. There's one time we, like around Christmas time, we sat on the phone for like an hour and just shot the shit. Like, you know, exchanged Christmas cards, became friends with his wife. He became friends with my wife. You know, just like a genuinely good person. And I think to seal the deal, I was going through a rough patch, and I'm going to break the fourth wall. And Matt sent me a link to a podcast that was directly from his church. And he was like a guest preacher that day. You know, he got on his podium and he spoke like 30 or 35 minutes. And everything he said, I can relate to. And I don't want to get on a spiritual diatribe and tell you who to believe in and not to believe in. But the stuff he was saying, I related to. And it wasn't all spiritual. It was just like common sense life shit, you know? So I took that as a wake-up call. Like, okay, listen, your ducks aren't in a row. You're not getting your stuff together. Let's, you know, take everything apart again. Like when you were a kid, you were trying to put a puzzle together or a robot or something or a toy and you couldn't get it right. You just pull it apart again and just try, start from scratch. And that's kind of what I did with some life stuff. There's not many times in my life where I have full control of my emotions and my self-awareness because of a chemical imbalance. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I get help for it, you know. So there are times where once in a while, a good friend or relative is right in your ear and they say something to you and you're like, holy shit, it makes perfect sense. So, Matt, I want to wish you a very happy birthday on behalf of myself and Scott and the Throwbacks and the Rant and the Shining Wizards Network. I want to say thank you for your friendship. Thank you for all your crazy shit when you call into the show. For your road reports, they are amazing. And thank you for all your little Photoshop joints. They're hysterical. I love all the little Photoshop gimmicks. And, you know, just have a great day. I love you, and have a great day, brother. All right? So let me take a sip of this Pepsi Max. This is delicious. Yeah, I drank on the last show. I can't be doing that a lot. I started losing my losing all my my thoughts and a lot of my process. So anyway, but I digress, as the Kevin Gill shirt says. I digress. Shout out to KG, who was talking yesterday on Facebook with the Wizards. So he's doing big things. Go support Kevin Gill, KevinGillShow.com. I don't get anything for it, but KG is an old school guy. He's a Queens head. The Prince of PMA, you know, go take care of KG and download his podcast. He had the Hardy Boys on his last show. So KG is all about DIY, and that's why I like a lot of guys like him and Cole Cabana, because they do it on their own. I mean they have help, but they do the upstart on their own, you know. And I kind of dig that. That's what I did. That's how I grew up. I never had a male figure who stayed around long enough in my life to be around in my ear telling me what to do and what not to do. I was raised by women, which really isn't a bad thing, because it's kind of leading into one of my main topics today, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. And if I wanted something done, I had to do it myself. There really wasn't a lot of help. You know, if I wanted something monetarily, I went out and got it. You know, I've been working since I'm 15 years old. I guess 12 years old, technically, but 15 was like my on-the-books job, like, you know, a little paycheck. But I hustled from like 12 to 15 for money, but working a long time. I mean, I have nothing to show for it financially in the bank because I live check to check, but I kind of don't care in a way. I'm starting to care now because I want certain things for my family, so I got to hustle and, you know, take some classes and get a better job and make more money, and that's another part of being a grown-up and I hate, but it is what it is. But, you know, getting back to DIY, anything I wanted to do, I had to do on my own. I was the first one in my family to finish school. I was the first one in my family to get, like, to be out of the house at a certain age. I was the first one in the family to at least try to go to college, which I'll finish eventually. I was the first one in my family to do anything remotely positive. I'm not saying my family didn't do anything positive after that, but I was like the first one. So I hope I inspired some of my cousins and my relatives, you know, because I didn't have anybody in my ear helping me until I was older. So, and that's just a suggestion to all you guys and girls who are young and you don't have a lot of options to turn to in terms of moral support. You can dig really deep into your psyche and you can pull out what you're capable of. It's just a matter of you're your worst enemy. So you prevent a lot of what you're not doing. And it's weird to say that because I find myself doing the same thing, because I'm not a creature of change. I hate change. I hate to fail. I despise it. So when I do something, I want to make sure that I can do it and not fail. And if I fail, the hardest part for me is getting back up and trying it again. So I'm not going to tell you, hey, you can do it. You're the best. You already know you're the best. You know that whatever you're doing in life, professionally and personally, if it's making you happy, if it's getting you by, then so be it. I think the hardest part of being an adult is growing up. And I say, and I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but the hardest part of being an adult is accepting certain things that you would never accept 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and manifesting them into your everyday life. So for all you young people that listen to the show, you have an idea of, and you form your opinions about how, you know, how, what I'm doing here, you know, and you want to do something on your own like that. You're like, you know what? I could do that. I could do that. It could be anything. I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. Do anything you want. You could do anything you want. And it sounds very cliche, but it's so true, man. It's so true. You could do anything you want as long as you apply yourself to it. There's nothing stopping you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing stopping you. So that's my inspirational speech today. I just want you guys to be fully aware of your surroundings. There's a different world out there, too. And just there's so much shit going on in the world that sometimes, you know, you can get sidetracked and discouraged. But don't get discouraged, because sometimes it ain't that bad, you know? So, all right. Get all that sappy shit out of the way. I'll tell you about a funny story. It really isn't that funny, but it's funny because the way I said it on Facebook, people are like, you know, it's very messed up, but I'm laughing anyway. So you guys know for the last 3 or 4 years now, I complain about my commute. Now, I live on Staten Island in New York City, and it's the, and they call it the outer borough. It's the most south of the city in the five boroughs, and a body of water separates me and the rest of the five boroughs, the rest of the four boroughs, like, and a bridge, you know. So the only way I can get to work is if I take a bus to a boat and then another bus to my job, which is what I do in the morning. And then coming home at night, I take two buses. I take one bus to another bus, which is called an express bus. And it doesn't make a whole lot of stops. It's a lot more money, but it leaves you 2 blocks from my house, which is the reason why I only take it at night. Because if I take it during the day, too, it costs a lot of money. It's like $6 without the transfer. With the transfer at night, it's like $3.50. So I take it at night just to, you know, I work a 10-hour day. It's a 15-hour day, as is, between the traveling and all that. It could be a 16-hour day, depending on traffic. So the last thing I want to do is take a boat home and then another bus at night. So I just take the bus, the two buses. There's one bus that takes me right to the other bus. And I'm the first stop, and I'm almost the last stop, so it's a long ride. The ride is about an hour. I've been on that bus for 2 hours with fucking traffic, and you guys know how I feel about that, so I've kind of sort of adapted to the ride. Like, I know all the turns now. I've memorized them. I know where all the stops are now. I know my drivers. They know me. You know, in New York City, after 10 o'clock at night, you could tell a bus driver, I want to get off here, and there's no bus stop there. So I do that between, like, there's a bus stop that is right near my house, that is, and then there's the real bus stop that he's supposed to stop at, but he lets me off at the bus stop that the bus is not supposed to go to, because it's at 10 o'clock at night. But even if it's not at 10, he knows. I'm normally like the next to last person on a bus anyway, and if I'm the last person, he just takes me right to my stop, you know. So I mean, I have a couple of good bus drivers. I even had a female one. We just, you know, you make friends. But I've adapted, you know. I got the phone, I got the tablet sometimes, I got the wireless headphones, the Beats, you know, I'm chilling. I got a bunch of podcasts I listen to. That keeps me going, man. The podcasts are what keep me going. I got my baseball podcasts I love. I love all the rant programming. You know, I mean, every rant EM show is like 2 hours or more. I know Talk Brunch is 3 hours most of the time, but like every other show is like 2 hours. So I'm good. Shining Wizards, 2 hours. Midnight Jury is most of the time 2 hours. I mean, the Broadsheet Breakdown is 3 hours. There's a whole bunch of shows I listen to. Rollins doesn't have a show anymore, so I don't listen to his show anymore. Cole Cabana, KG, there's a bunch of shows. I listen to so many podcasts, it's disgusting. I have to rotate them. Sometimes I have to catch up, which is what I'm going to do on the plane. While I'm on the plane right now, I'm probably listening to a podcast. So I'm on the bus, and I'm talking to my two buddies, Will and Chris. You know Will from the Will and Phil Alpha podcast, and you must know Chris Espoke. He was on the show, too. And Will and I did a couple other projects together. And Chris did, you know, him and Chris did a football show. So, you know, they know my struggle. Will took that. Will takes the same ride as I do most of the time, except he lives further out on Staten Island. So it's a little more worse for him, depending on traffic. So I'm talking to these guys, and we're, like, texting, and we're I got the Mets on the satellite radio, and I'm texting him at the same time through Messenger on Facebook. And normally now, the crowd on the bus is not your regular crowd. These are just, like, business people who, like me, have worked a long, exhausting day. They're tired. Most of these people go to sleep. Some of them read their books. Some of them just don't do anything, just sit there. And it's a quiet ride. And most of the people are regular. So, like, there's, like, 10 or 12 people that I see almost every day. And, we exchange, like a greeting, like, hello, how are you, whatever. Most of the time I get my own seat because I'm a fat bastard. Nobody wants to sit next to me because they think I smell, which is cool. I know I don't smell, but people are just stupid like that. You know, I get, like, dirty looks. I'm fat. So for the people who come on the bus and they don't know me, people who know me sit next to me. We shoot the shit. Then we go back to whatever we're doing. So now I'm talking, and, you know, when you come over the bridge, the Verrazano Bridge, the bus actually goes on the service road of the main highway of an expressway that takes you to different neighborhoods on Staten Island. So he takes a service road almost, you know, a couple of exits. And, like, between the first and third stop on the island, I'm still talking to the guys. Now, mind you, my headphones are on, so I'm not really paying attention to my surroundings. I got my head down. It's, you know, I still got another 15, 20 minutes of my ride, you know. So I'm sitting there, and as I'm talking to my boys, I'm listening to the Met game, I hear the bus getting louder, like the people getting louder, like there's like a bustle amongst the crowd, and I hear a lot of talk and a lot of chit chat. So I pick my head up, and I see people just dipping their head down the middle aisle of the bus. Now the bus is like a coach bus. It's a luxury. It's got like the nice carpeted seats. It's got a clean floor, like really good lighting. You know, you could plug your phone in some places. You know, it's a nice ride. It's a, you know, you pay for it, but, you know, it's a nice, comfortable ride. The seats are really comfortable. You bring a pillow, forget it. It's a wrap. You can go to sleep. So people like dipping their heads, and so now I, of course, I have to lower my phone. I'm like, what's? So now I'm just like, me, I don't care. I have no volume control. I'm like, and I yell, what's going on? What's everybody, you know, fussing about? So the lady next to me goes, it's that smell. And I go, what smell? And as I lean over to say, what's that smell? I smell shit. And not like, you know, like somebody farted shit. Like when somebody farts and it's bad, like, you know, it's just a fart. It's not like a thing where, you know, they need to either get some, you know, enzymes for their stomach or to have the runs or something or whatever. But or you get that regular, like, oh, I farted. I had too much tacos for lunch today. You know, it wasn't that kind of shit. It was like either a dog took a shit in the middle of the floor or a human took a shit on their way off the bus. And that's exactly what it was. Someone took a shit. And it was on the front of the bus, on the front two seats, and by the entrance by the bus driver where he sits, a big pile of shit. Yes, I put it on Facebook. It was a steaming pile of shit, and people are like, "This is crazy! It's disgusting! Oh my God, I can't stand this!" So now we're stuck on the bus another 20 minutes with shit on the bus. And I'm like, and I'm texting Will, and I'm like, and Chris, and I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. Someone took a shit on the bus. Because they were making fun of me because I was laughing about something they said. And Chris is like, don't laugh too hard, you'll shart. And I was like, no, I won't do that. And like 10 minutes after he says that to me, there's somebody's shit on the floor. So he goes, did you do that? I'm like, no, of course not, I didn't do that, you idiot. So We've all had accidents where, you know, we're sick or we were kids or, you know, I'm one of those people that I can't control my bowels. You know, I don't shit myself anymore, but, like, you know, I can't, I'm not one of those guys that can hold in either. So if I have to go, I have to go. If not, I'm going to probably shit myself, you know. Let's just say I've shit in some undesirable places, but never in public on a bus. Somebody must have been walking off the bus, couldn't hold it in, and just let a piece go. And it ran down their leg, and a big steaming pile of shit was on the floor. And I was like, this is some shit. Literally, this is some shit. Like, so I'm saying to myself, what would possess you to do that? You can't, I mean, so everybody's like, well, me, and people are just like horrified, you know? So now, finally, now 10 minutes go by, and now the bus is empty, and it's just me and the bus driver. And I look up, and I'm like, it's only me, man. Can you skip some of these stops? He goes, oh, absolutely. I know where you're going. He goes, I'm glad this is my last ride. I'm on vacation. I'm like, Dick, I have one more bus ride tomorrow night. So I better not get no more shit. Ironically, I didn't have to take the bus home that night on my last night of work. I took the boat. I got a ride to the boat, but that's another story. So we're talking, and he goes, who does that? And he goes, well, I've had somebody shit on a regular bus before. But yeah, a regular bus is different, though. People, the grimiest of grimy people go on those city buses, no matter what neighborhood you're in, because you have to pass through bad neighborhoods anyway, and people have no shame, you know? I've seen homeless people take shits in the middle of the street, you know? It is what it is. I mean, I've seen it. But I've seen undesirable people do it, and you expect that from undesirable people, right? I expect it from the poor homeless guy who couldn't use the bathroom in the McDonald's because of the way he looked, and they wouldn't let him use the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? So if he's going to take a shit in the ground outside, you know, at least it's outside, you know? So, and I can't knock that hustle at all. So, but to take a shit on a $6 express bus, and you're like, and it wasn't even like you were in the back of the bus. You, whoever did it was right there because the shit was right by the front entrance of the door. You walk on the bus, there's the steps, and then there's two seats, and then there's the bus driver's seat. That's where the shit was, right in front of the two seats, in between the two front seats and the driver. So you got up from your seat, probably clenched your butt cheeks, figured, I'll let one out, nobody's going to see it. I'll let one out, nobody's going to see it. And you're like, whoa. Someone took a shit on a bus. And I was like, on top of the terrible commute I have every day, on top of the fact that it takes me 4 hours a day to and from work to travel, now you're going to take a shit on the bus? Come on, man. It's like cutting a dude and adding salt to the wound. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you got a sandwich and someone takes half of it, and you're like, come on, man, I wanted that whole sandwich. Or you got $5 and your homeboy asked you to borrow $2.50, and you're like, but I needed that $5. You know, that's how I felt, man. It was like, come on, man. Are you kidding me right now? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. So, yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened to me. Someone took a shit on my bus. And I'm glad I'm on vacation now, man, because I can't handle I gotta like disconnect from this everything. So a week away, even though my kids will be dragging me all over fucking Disney, at least I'll have them drag me along Disney. I don't have to deal with the nonsense and the traffic and the stupidity at work and people taking shits on the bus and getting yelled at by homeless people or getting yelled at my job by people who have no business yelling at you because you've been there for so long and they have no clue about the process of what goes on, but you have to take it anyway because it's all politics. And I'm just, you know, these are the things as an adult, you're like, oh man, thank God I can do this, you know? Thank the maker that I can do this and get by, you know? So that was alarming for me. That really like pissed me off. I was like, I wasn't even pissed at the actual I was pissed more that it happened on my bus after a long day of a 10, 14 hour day. You're like, oh man. The last thing you want to smell is somebody's shit. You know, when you're outside, you don't care because, you know, you pass by like, ah, does the smell go away? Doesn't go away on the bus, kids. Doesn't go away on the bus. Terrible. Get some water, Pepsi Max. I got to kick soda. It's gonna kill me eventually, but for now, I'll embrace it. All right. So I got some more to talk about. And I'll take a quick break because I'm losing some power on the second computer here. I have to plug it in and take a leak. So I'm breaking the fourth wall here. Yeah, I got some more stuff I want to talk about. So let's take a break, play some plugs, play all our friends' stuff, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, a very special filatorial tonight. Live on Rant Ian Radio, but not live here because I'm 1,000 miles away now. So, we'll be right back. Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbuckletheroughbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different T-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletheroughbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android, or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Played that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you.
Stop now. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
He said he only smacked her once,
but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show.
Oh, yes, Works.
That was all so right. Disrespectful. All right, nah, I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your girl's, about, her, like, you that's why your girl's her, about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Rant EM Radio. Oh yeah.
Fighters for you. All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, live rant, EM Radio, part of the Shining Wizards Network. We're on your TuneIn. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play now. How about that? So go get that stuff. All right. Anyway. I could play this whole song, but I can't. I got to finish my filatorial here. I got a vacation to take care of. Can't be talking to you guys while I'm up in the air. I wish I could talk to you from there. I was actually, when Mega, oh, what the hell was that guy's name? Mega, oh, damn it. When the other guy filled in for me the last time I was on vacation for a weekend, I actually got the show while I was in flight with the whole crew that was doing it that night. It's pretty cool. So, but I'll probably be listening to this back again on the plane because they have Wi-Fi on the plane again. So, either way, enjoy it. I like doing these little filatorials because I don't have to bother Scott with my nonsense. I don't have to bother anybody else. I can just rant and piss and moan, and it's getting good reviews, so people like it. So gives you more, a little bit more of an insight of what I deal with every day. And I did talk a little wrestling today, so that's pretty cool. I'm not going to just, you know, and I kind of took this from Don Tony. He does Breakfast with Blasey, and Don Tony does the same thing. Like, he doesn't want to bother Kev with all the other nonsense, so he just talks about his life. And I, you know what? I think when you're at a point in your life where you're doing something like this, you're using this as a medium, as a good hobby, and you want to do something that gives the fans a little more of an inside of you, I think it's always a bonus, good or bad. Either way, it's just, you know, there's no wrong, you know, it's just you're doing it, you're just going balls out, so. All right, so I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit because something really bothers me. And it's been bothering me for a long time, and there's no secret about how I feel about the internet wrestling community. You know, there's different fans now, and the younger fan has so much access to what we root for and love as fans, you know. And since 2005, with the inception of YouTube and Daily Motion and other streaming video sites, and then, of course, you know, torrents and stuff like that, kids downloading stuff like at record paces, and they're watching stuff they've never seen before, and you know, the current product the way it is, and we talked about that at the opening of the show, it's become social media has become a sounding board for, you know, many things, you know. And if I didn't have the podcast, I would not be on Facebook. And I've told my mom that. I've told my family that. I told my friends. I'm just like, I don't like. I use Facebook to show off my family, to piss them on about my teams, my sports teams, to piss them on about wrestling, and to piss them on about my commute to work. Can't complain about your work too much because, you know, you can get in trouble for that now. You mentioned stuff. That's why I don't mention anything. I don't tag myself at work. I'm not friends with a lot of my coworkers on Facebook anymore because I don't want to get, you know, even if I do say something, I don't want them to hold it against me, you know, because I've seen people get fired over Facebook. It's stupid. But this is the society we live in now, you know. People have an outlet. You know, back in the day, you just call up your man and you're like, oh, man, this happened at work today. F this and F her and this, that, and the third. Oh, I had to fight my wife. I had to fight my mom. I'm so pissed off. And you call your friend and you sound off, you vent to him. You go have a beer or something to eat at the diner, and you call it a day. And you go back to your life. Maybe your friend has a solution for you. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe she has a solution for you. Well, you have that one girlfriend you go to. You're like, oh, you know, so-and-so. And you know, I mean, it goes. I've seen marriages dissipate because of Facebook. I've seen friendships that I've put together on through my show break up because of Donald Trump, if all people. You know what I'm saying? The power of the internet, the power of social media, has taken over everything I love. Everything extracurricular in my life has a hashtag to it now. Whether it's my baseball, my hockey, my basketball, my football, wrestling, you know, anything, Marvel, DC Comics. Anything I love and cherish as a grown up with a child heart has a hashtag to it, has an internet site connected to it now, has a Twitter handle and an Instagram connected to it. That allows fans to sound off what they like, what they don't like. Now, I've gotten into it with some people, some peers recently because of, it wasn't your opinion, it's the way you said it. You know, I'm the kind of person where I'd rather tell you to, like I said a few weeks ago, if you know me personally, if you met me before, and you've heard me talk for more than 5 minutes, if I type something on the internet, you're going to look at it and go, oh, I know what Phil's talking about. I could see Phil's hands moving. I could see his demeanor. I could see his facial expressions. I know him. Like my sister says it all the time. My sister goes, I could tell how you're feeling by reading two sentences of your Facebook quotes or posts once in a while. And she's right, because it's my sister. She knows me. I hope she does. You know? And I don't – maybe I shouldn't get too upset about it, because you take it with a grain of salt. You develop, but on the flip side of that, you develop these relationships with people online. You know, like I have friends overseas who I feel like every time I talk to them, I've known them for 20 years. And he and two of the guys know who I'm talking about. They know. Matter of fact, one of them wanted to come on and do this with me, but I just couldn't. I wasn't going to be able to fit them in because of my schedule and stuff like that. So, but you talk to them and it's genuine. I don't have to meet them. I don't have to look at their facial expression. Sometimes it's very rare. You just know what they're saying. And I didn't like, a couple of weeks ago, I just didn't like the way certain people were like, well, I can't, like one person said, and it was a peer, if you like that movie, you know, don't even be friends with me. Or if you don't like, if you liked that what was going on, how am I even friends with you? And now, mind you, we're friends still, and I didn't say, hey, man, you're a dick for saying that, because I could have. And I thought about it for a minute. Part of me was like, I can't believe someone that smart would lower themselves to say that, even if it's to get attention. Because sometimes you just say things to be funny. I do it all the time. If I'm in a room of people that are a mixed crowd, and I know I can get a smile out of somebody who deserves a good smile, I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to crack a joke. I may even be inappropriate, depending on who's in the room, because I'm uncomfortable if you're uncomfortable. I'm that self. My self-esteem isn't what it should be. You know what if that makes any sense to you, right? So, like, if I'm in a room, and there's times where I just come in a room and I won't say anything to anybody because I don't want to be bothered. But there are days where back in the day at work, if I walked into work, because I used to work the third shift, which is the afternoon shift. So if I walk in at 2 o'clock for a 3 o'clock shift and the morning guys are just dragging ass because it was a busy day and I'm their relief, I'll crack a joke. I'll offer to buy him a soda. I'll pick on the one guy because he was just an easy target because he was, you know, just he was always a dick to people. But he was the kind of guy where you crack jokes. Like, he'll crack jokes on you, but if you do it to him, he didn't like it. He couldn't take any criticism or jokes, you know? And you knew it. So he just busted his balls, you know? And I thought it was hysterical. And he knew. You know somebody for 20 years, 10 years, you could do that, you know? So that's the kind of person I am. I'm not expecting anybody else to be like me, because then I wouldn't be genuine. And you wouldn't be genuine if I was trying to be like you. And I think that that's what makes the world go round, and that's what makes everybody special. If you do you, and I'm glad, because we have a very vast variety of wrestling fans between the networks that I'm a part of and the pages on social media that we run. That's why there's only one or two people that have helped me run the page, because I can't, you know, I used to get really pissed off, like, guys, come on, man, three people posting the same article, what are you doing? And people just aren't watching the page, and I would get messages, hey, Phil, man, are you mad at me? How come you didn't post my page? Because two other people just posted the same article you posted. You know, I used to get mad. I don't get mad about that anymore. But here's what I get mad about, and I'll tell you. And this is not just wrestling. It isn't. It's like everything. But it's mostly wrestling and sports, because that's what I follow online. I have two different Twitter accounts. One's for wrestling, one's for me. For my personal, like my baseball and people like friends and relatives and stuff, because nobody wants to talk. You know, I don't want everything in my life inundated with wrestling. You know, if I was 15, I would argue that with you, but I'm not anymore. You know, however, I do have two Twitter accounts, and when you look at certain things on Twitter, most of my banter about especially my team. I'm very critical of my sports teams. A, because I'm a New Yorker, and B, all my teams pretty much suck. Well, the Mets have been successful the last couple of years, but like The Knicks have been terrible for 20 years. The Rangers haven't won a cup in 20 years. The Minnesota Vikings have never won a Super Bowl. I'm a Vikings fan, for those who don't know. So all of my teams are not successful teams. And it's become part of the, I guess, the I have that underdog mentality where I pick my teams, I stick with them, and I root for them. I'm not going to stray away because they suck. So it's that blue-collar mentality that gets me by every day, professionally and personally. And it's a hard road. If you're a diehard sports fan and your team suck, oh, it is the abs or wrestling sucks. It is like the worst because these are things that you invest your emotions in when you're not being a grown up. You know, when you're not being a grown up, and I go to at least 5 or 10 Met games a year. Hell, I was at the World Series and the playoffs last year for the Mets. How about that? I was very blessed. My neighbors took me to have season tickets. You know, I was there when the Rangers clinched to go to the Stanley Cup. You know, I was at a Knick playoff game back in the day. You know, I've invested my emotion into my teams. And I'm an armchair quarterback. I'm the first guy to go, oh, come on, man. I knew the Rangers were getting eliminated. I told my coworker this months ago. I said, the Rangers are going to clinch the playoffs. They're going to get bounced in the first round because they have no fucking defense. And their goalie stands on his head, and he can't save them for every series. And that's exactly what happened. They were overwhelmed by a very hot Pittsburgh Penguins team, and that was it. The Knicks go out and hire this fucking – they hire Phil Jackson, the guru of basketball. He hires a rookie coach who gets fired. They can't run an offense. They draft an amazing European seven-footer who weighs 140 pounds in each seven-foot. He needs 20 pounds put on him and a fucking point guard. And maybe, just maybe with a point guard, they may win more than 10 games this year, next year, 20 games. The New York Mets were in a World Series last year. They were 8 or 10 games out of first place by August. They came back. They fucking swept everybody. They made a huge trade. They dominated. They went right to the World Series against a buzzsaw. That was the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals just outplayed, outclassed the Metropolitans. Was it sad? Of course it was sad, but you're there. You rooted. You laughed. You cried. I cried that game 5 hours there, man. It was Halloween night, and I had gotten into a fight with my wife, and I was already pissed off on the way to the games. Now, picture this. I'm giving out candy to kids. I'm fighting my wife on the phone. I'm giving out candy to kids because Halloween is very active in my neighborhood. I've told you guys all this before. And all of a sudden, my neighbor walks over to me with a World Series ticket and goes, "You have 20 minutes to get dressed." And I dumped the rest of the candy in some lucky kid's bag, and I ran upstairs and showered and got dressed. And I was so mad at my wife, and I was overwhelmed with emotion that by the time I sat in my seat, I was a blubbering idiot because I'm crying because I love my wife, and I want to fight with her no more. And I'm crying because I'm at the World Series without her. The World Series. I'm at the World Series. This is the championship of baseball. It's every baseball fan's dream to be in a World Series game. I was at a World Series game. And I got to see Matt from the Shining Wizards. He came over. He was at the game also. Got a nice hug. Took a picture. I'm probably going to make an 8x10 of it. Because it's something that Matt and I will cherish forever, being at the game. Not together, sitting together, but we're together in spirit, too. So, and these are the kind of things that I get emotional about. I get emotional about wrestling because I do a wrestling podcast. I don't invest enough emotion into the current product because I'm over the demographic. I'm aware of what goes on. Now I have friends who are in the business, so I have an idea of how it goes now, and they give me insight. You know, you've heard Shining Wizards Eddie, his tirade every week, you know. And Eddie's a very negative Nelly. Eddie also works for an independent wrestling promotion, too. So Eddie, you know, has more a little more of an insight now. He can pretty much, not really predict, but he has an idea of what goes on in the back now and with the politics and the bullshit because he sees it in his little world, you know. And I have a couple other friends who work in the business. You know, we had Chris Dickinson here a few weeks ago, and Chris is probably one of the best unsigned people on the planet. Chris is dedicated to his craft, and he's a good dude, and he's a solid fucking stiff worker who is amazing, cuts a great promo, and hangs out with a bunch of guys that get it. So I have an idea of what goes on, you know, and some of my peers have that same mentality too. Some of the guys don't get invested in all the bullshit with social media, and I try not to. I've scaled back a lot, like a ton. But something got to me the other day. There was an article posted with a video about two female sports analysts. Not, I don't want to say analysts. They were their writers and their contributors to a sports radio station. I think it was in New England based. Two totally different girls, two totally different opinions. I follow them on Twitter, and they cover their local teams, and they give their opinion about certain things. They write articles, and like, you know, this is what they do. And what they did was, because they're women, I hate this, because they're women, you know, people were taking shots at them, like personal shots, like calling them, like degrading names, and so and so, you're this, you're that, you know, you should die, kill yourself. And what they were doing was they would have these men, these random men, sit with them and read them back the tweets and messages that they've already seen. And both of them were like, at one point, the one chick was in tears. Like, you know, even though she's read it before, the one guy's like, do you really want me to read this? She's like, yeah, I want you to read it. And the guys were like, embarrassed. I don't want to read this. This is disgusting. I don't want to. And they were like, one guy was like, it took him a minute to sink in to read what he was reading. It wasn't wrestling related, but I see this every single day on the internet. Every single day. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't understand. Maybe it's because I was raised by women. Maybe it's because I have a little more respect for people in general, maybe not just women. I mean, listen, we poke fun. The other guy that was here with me, he did a lot of tongue-in-cheek shit with, you know, with the racist remarks, but it was like all tongue-in-cheek, and everybody was doing it, playing the sound bites and joking around. And even that got to me a little bit, because that's not really my MO. I was raised around a lot of bigotry and racism because I'm Italian. I'm an Italian-American. And the generations that were before me, they know nothing else. They were raised on being prejudiced against stuff that was different. Where I wasn't. Where I didn't have any white friends until, I want to say, junior high school. Like close white friends, I should say. You know, I never looked at color or ethnicity as being different, because everybody on my block was the same. Everybody in my neighborhood was the same. Everybody was doing the same thing and living for the same way. So when I see these, and now, you have to understand something. I don't get people. Like, especially my peers, and I'm not going to point out names because, again, I'm going to be passive aggressive, because if you're listening to this, you obviously know I'm speaking of you or somebody else. And it's not a thing where I don't dislike what you're doing in terms of your product or your brand of show or what you're doing on the internet. But, and this is from all over the world too, you know, other countries too, and that's another thing too. Other countries do it, and the culture is a bit different, but it's still, you know, it's still, like, my point is this. I don't know you. If you type something derogatory on a thread, even if I hear your voice on a show, if you're a peer, right? People are going to, you know, people are going to read it a certain way. Three people can read what you wrote and interpret it different ways. I understand that. But to be degrading to people, to talk down to people when you don't know them personally, I don't know if there's anything more shallower than that. Sincerely, you're going to talk to somebody, down to somebody, who was given their opinion on a predetermined, scripted act on television. Think about that for a minute. You're not fighting about politicians. You're not fighting about the economy. You're not fighting about religion, which thank God you guys are not doing that, because that's another fucking can of worms that I can't even begin to do. That's another philatorial. You can't, I mean, to sit there behind your computer and degrade people, women, like you calling women cunts and bitches? Like, would you call your mom a cunt or a bitch? I know I wouldn't. Would you call your wife, your daughter, your aunt, your significant other? Would you call any of them a cunt or a bitch? You wouldn't. And if you did, you're a bigger cunt than a bitch. You are. If you're doing that in real life and on a computer, you're a piece of shit. And if I have friends who are listening and peers who are listening that do that, please don't let me find out you're doing it. Because I'll put you on blast. Or delete me from social media and don't even bother fucking talking to me anymore. I respect everybody's opinion. I don't agree with half of them. Peers, family, friends, coworkers, the fucking cashier down the block at the Stop and Shop. I don't agree with half the shit you're telling me. I don't want to hear half the shit you're telling me. But if I walk away respecting it and appreciating that you're giving me an opinion about something, even if I don't want to know or I can care less, I'm a better person for it. I don't like being told what to do. I definitely don't like being yelled at, because I have a thing about that, because it's deep-rooted. But I don't like being people raising their voice to me for no reason. That bothers me. But that's just another podcast, too. I can't get into that right now. But I can't, and I don't like people talking down to me. Because if you know me and you talk down to me, several things can happen. You're going to get a terrible rebuttal from me. You're going to get whatever you got coming to you. You're going to get, you're probably going to hear things that you're not going to like. If I'm with you in person, you're probably going to see something you're not going to like. And more importantly, you're going to be humbled. Because I won't stand for it with this brand. I got guys and girls on my pages, and they just post stuff just to get attention. They'll post an article about wrestling or something that they saw, or they'll post a video or whatever the case may be. And, you know, sometimes I'll get an inbox like, "Hey, Phil, man, nobody said anything. Are you mad that I post that?" No. You didn't talk down anybody. You weren't derogatory. You weren't angry at anybody, right? No, you're giving your opinion. Opinions make the world go round. Opinions are what make these shows amazing. I could sit on a Saturday night and not call into Will Morgan's call-in show, and I've sat there for 6 months on a Saturday night when the family's in bed, and I heard 2 hours of, "I hate John Cena, fuck John Cena, fuck Goldberg, fuck John Cena, fuck Goldberg." So finally, one night I called in, and I said, "All right, so-and-so, you hate fucking John Cena? Tell me why you hate John Cena." couldn't answer me. You, the next guy, tell me why you hate John Cena. Really didn't have an answer for me. Finally, I get to Stevie Ray. Why do you hate John Cena? Rest in peace, Stevie Ray, passed away a few days ago, and I say this because I'm using Stevie as an example. Stevie said, well, Phil, my man, I hate John, and Stevie's from Texas, I hate John Cena because blah, 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 A, B, C, D, and E. Thank you. Nobody said, oh, you hate John Cena? You're an asshole. You hate John Cena? You're a cunt. You're a bitch. You're stupid. You're an idiot. But this is what I see every day. I see fuck you. I see die. I see kill yourself. Like, Will and I, Will's my best friend for 20 years, right? Will's like, ah, kill yourself. He tells me that, but jokingly. That's just the sixth sense of humor he has with me. And I tell him to go fuck his hand, you know, whatever. Would jump off a cliff, I tell him once in a while. But, like, I remember one time I told my niece, his daughter, like, ah, get away from me, go play in traffic. And she was like 2 or 3 years old. And his wife got mad. She said, don't tell my daughter to go play in traffic. And she waits till I leave the house, and she texts me. And I say to her, have you not sat with me for fucking 10 years? Like, do I really want your daughter to go play in fucking traffic? And she's not that dumb at 3 years old to say, oh, Uncle. She thinks because I have such an influence on her, well, Uncle Philly told me to go out in the street and play in the streets, I'm going to go play in traffic. That was my way of saying, get out of my hair, you bother me. You know? And I got mad. I got more mad at her than I did at the fact that she was mad that I said that. You know? But I didn't talk down to her. I apologize. I'm like, all right, I respect your opinion. I won't do it again. But in the same breath, you know, if you don't know me by now, you might want to check that. You know? And people have a strong opinion, especially my peers. My peers that do these podcasts have a very, very strong aura around them. And they're very positive about their craft, and they're very, very good at what they do, and they're very, very passionate about their opinion, which makes me download them every week. Some of them I know personally, some of them I don't. You know? Hold on. I've come to a point in the last 3 years, going on 4 years of doing this, that I'm more comfortable with someone disagreeing with me and give me an explanation, and then rather you talk down to somebody. Like, women, like, the whole women thing fucking irks me. Because you don't get a lot of wrestling fans who are girls that are active on Twitter anyway. Now we have women that appears on our shows. You know, Talk Brunch has two of them. And I'll be goddamned if they get talked down to. Because they're women. I mean, if you know these girls on the show, you know that they're not gonna take any shit anyway. You know, they're very strong minded, passionate people. You know, but even if it's not my show, but they're my friends. They're my peers. I mean, they are my friends if they want to be. I'm their friend. You know. But that's not, I didn't mean it like that. I meant not derogatory. I meant like, you know, friends, like personal friends. But if someone talked down to them and disrespected them, I would probably jump at their throat, whoever did it. To call somebody a cunt, especially a woman, cunt is like a bad, cunt is probably the, I mean, I know in Europe it's like a word that all the guys use in a pub. Ah, you're a cunt, you know it. No, cunt here is way different from cunt over there. You call a woman a cunt here, you might as well just have punched her in the face and kicked her while she was down. I've seen girls in school, when I was in school, who are you calling a bitch? The weave comes off, the Vaseline comes out, they put the door knocker earrings away, and they're fucking brawling in the hallway. Who'd you call a bitch? Who you calling a cunt? But I see guys talking down to these girls because of John Cena and Roman Reigns. Really? Because of Randy Orton? Like these fucking fictional characters on TV that doing a predetermined fucking ballet? UFC 2. Oh, look at this cunt. She's fighting tonight. Come on, man. I've said in private to, like, my friends, like, oh, she's acting like a cunt. I won't tell her she's acting like a cunt. You know? Your significant other has acted like a cunt all the time. But you say, hey, you know, you tell your best friend, oh, she's being a cunt today. It's that time of the month. Don't tell her that. Tell your friend that. Tell your best friend that. Somebody you confide in. But don't degrade anybody for fucking giving their opinion. You're no better than anybody else, me included. That's the shit that gets me tight. That's the shit that says, you know what? I have zero tolerance for this now. Like, zero tolerance for it. You know, there's a couple of shows that have girls on them. If I don't agree with them, I don't agree with them. I'm not going to name call. I'm not going to retweet hatred shit. These girls were crying, dude. The disrespecting of women on social media, the disrespecting of women, period, have got to stop. Just because they're women doesn't give you the right as a man to belittle them. That extra rib and penis doesn't give you the fucking right. Well, did the female have the extra rib? The female does. But your genitalia, I'm so tired right now. Your genitalia should not determine the way you treat people. It's an equal slate. Women are, in some parts of the world, trying to run the country. Women in other countries will never have that opportunity. Women here in America have high-paying, powerful positions in business. Women are in some women here in our country are involved in financial comings and goings that make the economy work in our country. I can't speak for everybody else because I'm not living there and I don't read enough about the other places in the world. I have an idea. I base an opinion on it, and I keep it moving. I don't talk about it really much in public because it offends people. I'm also the kind of guy that feels like if you don't live here, you don't know for sure what goes on. You're just looking at what you read and what you watch on news. And I have people from other countries, Canada, UK, that they'll bash Americans. Like, oh, this wouldn't happen where I live. No, probably wouldn't. Do you want a fucking medal or a monument? Because you can't pin shit. Okay? You have shit where you live, too. Don't get it twisted. Nobody's perfect. No place on the planet is perfect. We all can't be fucking pixie dusted and unicorned out. But it's wrestling. It's baseball. It's football. It's sports. It's politics. It's religion. Don't degrade anybody else because it's not what you're doing. You don't have that right. Because I guarantee you, 97% of you would not do it to anybody's faces. I know some of the 3%ers. I do. I'm friends with some of the 3%ers, and I'm glad that they would. I mean, I'm not saying they degrade people. I'm saying with their strong with their opinions. You know, if I tell them you won't say it to my face, they will. But the other 97% of you will not. And I know this. Because you're the same people that fucking hate Roman Reigns, but you're at the show buying the merchandise. You're the same person who hates John Cena, but you're buying your kid fucking wristbands and a You Can't See Me shirt. You're the same person that calls Bailey from NXT a cunt, but you're sitting front row when they come to your town looking for a hug. You're the same person that hates the fucking product, but you have thousands upon thousands of dollars in merchandise sitting in front of you in your basement, behind your computer in your mom's house. But now you have a microphone, and now you want to talk about it. Or you have a YouTube video and you want to talk about it. That's my point. Life ain't that bad. Get over yourselves. Be mindful. Be respectful to other people. That's where it is. And pick your battles accordingly. Pick a battle big enough to matter, small enough to win. That quote sits on my desk every day. It's so hard for me to emotionally invest my time in so many things because I'm so passionate about it. I raise my voice a lot. I get excited. People are like, oh, you take it too seriously. I'm like, no, I'm just excited. I had a conversation with a coworker about the Mets pitching staff the other day, and I'm like, oh. I said, all those guys can hit. All of them. All the pitchers can hit. They can play a position if they wanted to. My friend's like, what are you yelling for? I'm like, oh, I'm not yelling. It's passionate. And then there was one guy, the Mets outfielder, Conforto. Guy kept throwing him a slider. And he kept hitting the ball foul. And I said, if this fucking guy gets one slider that hangs over the strike zone, this kid is going to bury that ball in fucking right field. Two pitches later, he buried it. And I said, see? I told you. You should have never thrown that pitch. My friend's like, what are you yelling for? I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. It's hard for me to stay quiet about certain things. It's my genetic makeup. I can't hide my feelings. I wish I could. I wish sometimes people could look at me and go, oh, man, you're miserable today. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't hide it. I'm not that kind of person. I can't fix the way I feel. I was raised a certain way, and it's probably the downfall of my existence. But my emotions will constantly be on my sleeve and running off of them. I can't be a different person. I can't smile through a lot of adversity. I can't smile a lot through a long-winded bad situation. I try to keep a straight face. I try. I really do. I do. I there are days where I'll go to work and I have a boss look at me and go, oh, man, you okay? I'm like, yeah. And he knows I'm mad about something, like, professionally. I'm like, yeah, I'll be all right. So at that point, he'll choose whether to deal with me or not. Part of him, after 10 years, is going, all right, should I really bring Phil into my office and have him carry on for half an hour about why he's mad? Or do I let him let it roll over and make sure he's okay and just check on him every couple hours and make sure he doesn't fucking lose his job by yelling at somebody on the phone or doing something stupid? My boss has that thing. Both my bosses do it. They can just they'll pull me in the office and be like, all right, what's going on? And part of me is like, I don't want to throw somebody on the... I don't want to dime anybody out. You know, and part of me is like, I'm mad because this, and this happens all the time. And it could be avoided because you guys, you know... It's really easy to tell somebody else they're not doing their job. And I've done that so much, and I think my bosses get mad because they think that I undermine them. And I'm like, no, it's not that I undermine you. It's just that you guys can prevent a lot of the extra work that goes on. And this goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You know? But when it comes to this stuff, like the podcasting and the internet radio and all the other crap, it's the struggle for me to not say anything is hard. Because half it's like it's just bullshit. You know? And sometimes, you know, I'm the person that tries to be so optimistic. You know, my wife once told me, she goes, you know, you can look at the worst of people and think the best of them. And I never understood that. Yeah, that guy's a junkie, but he's probably a good dude. Yeah, that lady's probably, you know, whatever she is, but she's probably a good person. You know, there was a time in their life where they were a good person. You're not just born evil. You're not just born manipulative. You're not just born a fucking savage. You know, there's something in your life that happened to you that turned you away from everything that was good. And it's kind of like the superhero mentality where, you know, you have that, all those guys have backstories. Like when you look at the villains and you look at their origins, well, you know, so-and-so used to be a good guy and then, you know, this happened to him, you know. Now he's a sociopath psycho killer, you know. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but there was a time in his life where he was good or she was good. So you invest your emotion in these characters. I invest my emotion in the fans of the show. I invest my emotions in my peers because I'm a fan of their product and everything they talk about outside of, like, certain shows. Like, you know, some like two or three shows talk about Walking Dead. I don't know anything about Walking Dead, so I don't watch it. Nothing personal, I just don't watch it. Or if there's a show that I'm watching and they have it, like, I can't listen to Surfer Show all the time because they talk about shows that I watch, but I'm not caught up because they binge watch. So I do. I was like, all right, whatever, do that. Or a good example, the other night I was listening to Talk Brunch, and they got into Game of Thrones. New episode just dropped last week. I have not seen it yet. I'm gonna watch it when I get back from vacation or before I leave, whatever the case may be, right? So I had to shut it off and then go back to it or whatever during the download. You pick and choose how you act towards other people. It's easier to take a step back and take a deep breath and go, okay, I won't say that because I know it would hurt somebody else's feelings. There's a way to give to critique something. There's a way to treat people. And I think to coexist as human beings, the hardest part is being a human being. I don't want to be the do-all, say-all. I don't want to be the guy that tells you, do the right thing, because I don't do the right thing all the time. I'm human. I have days where I hate people. I hate people most of the time. I won't disrespect them. I won't yell at them. Well, maybe sometimes I yell at them. But if you see what I have to deal with in public sometimes, you'd be like, I'd be yelling too. So some of it's justified. However, I won't disrespect people. There's a limit of things that I would say to somebody because I wouldn't want it done to me. And don't give me that crap, I don't care about what people say about me or say to me. You still have to carry yourself a certain way. Even especially if you're a peer of mine and you have a show or a podcast media or a website or a place where you give your opinion and people react to it, you have now a responsibility to your public to be the very best person you can be. And you want to go with this take me as I am type of shit? That's fine, because I do the same thing. This is me. This is who I am. You don't like it, don't listen. Fuck you. Same thing with wrestling. You don't like it, don't watch it. I hear this all the time. Okay? be nice to people. I'm going to disagree with you. I just don't like that whatever was going on. I'm going to disagree with you. That's all. It's not rocket science. It's just a matter of how you're going to carry yourself that day, that week, that month, that year. Because if you're not calling your girlfriend or your wife a cunt, or your grandmother or your mom or your sister or your best friend who's a female a cunt, why would you do it to the person that lives in Arkansas, 1,000 miles away from you? Oh, I know why. Because you wouldn't say it to their face. And if you did, then you're a bigger dick than I thought you were anyway. So that's it, man. Be mindful. I say it after every show, and it's a Jerry Springer thing. Be good to yourselves. Be good to others. Be kind. Take care of yourselves and each other. Don't say certain things. Hug your mom. You know, do something productive. You know, that's do something productive every day that you can hold your head up high about. It'll get you through the day. If it's doing a podcast, if it's, you know, if it's a hobby of yours, if it's a spiritual thing, like church and stuff like that, if it's something that on that lines, just do it to the best of your abilities. And be mindful of the people around you. You're not the only person on the planet. You're not the only person that's going to be around when this whole thing is over. You know, there's going to be 10 more Impact players after me. There's going to be 10 more of whatever show we have going on the networks that are going to give their spin on what we're doing 30, 40, 50 years from now. We're part of a very, very exclusive club where, like, the founding fathers of this thing, where now wrestling podcasts, there were like 3 or 4 of them a couple of years ago. Now they're a dime a dozen. Sports podcasts, politics, food podcasts, music podcasts. There's a podcast about every genre of anything you do professionally and personally. But you were on that first boat. So if you're a friend of mine on social media, if you're a peer of mine and you're both, I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. None of us should be calling anybody those kind of words or talking down to anybody like that, male or female. Even if they talk like that to you, be a better person. Because they'll never do it to your face. And if they did, you give them more credit than what they're worth anyway. And then you deal with it accordingly. But until then, be kind. Be good. And if you have to be bad, do it briefly and get it over with. But don't disrespect anybody. Because you wouldn't want it done to you. You wouldn't want it done to your family or your friends or the people that are important to you in your life. This is not me being a stick in the mud. This is just me helping out my fellow man and woman, for that matter. All right. All right. I think I babbled long enough. Okay. My plane's about to land. So let's play some music and get the hell out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Be back second week of May, I'm sorry, with more live shows. So again, guys, TumbleTheThrowbacks.com, RantEmRadio.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Geek Life Radio every Saturday night. Go to GeekLifeRadio.com. We're on TuneIn on 3 different feeds. Go find us. We have shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TumbleTheThrowbacks. You want to email us, TumbleTheThrowbacks1@gmail.com, or on Facebook at TBuckleTBacks. I'm sorry, Twitter at TBuckleTBacks. Facebook.com/TumbleTheThrowbacks. We have a group. Join a group. I think that's it. So On behalf of myself, the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, I'm bidding you all adieu, reminding you again, please, 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 guys, sincerely, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, be kind to animals, don't say the N-word, unless you're Tony C, or the other guy that used to be here, what the hell's his name? I forgot his name already. But anyway, that, and just, you know, hug your mom, man. Hug your significant other. Hug somebody. Be a good fucking person. Because it's what you were put here to do. Anyway, that's pretty much going to be it for me. We'll be back. The rest of May is going to be fantastic. We have three or four shows lined up for you that are going to be awesome, off the hook. I'm already planning them with Scott. Support all of our other shows that we're a part of. All the links are on our Facebook page, as well as our TermicalThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Sports Den, Bloke Show, Midnight Jury, Shell Pod, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neck Breaker, The Rant, you know, tomorrow night to Will Morgan and the Colin Show. Payback is this Sunday, and then you start the week all over again. You get Talk Brunch, you get The Rant, you get Freaks, Deaf, and Geeks, you get Rant and Wrestling, you get us again. You can't lose. You can't lose. I love you all. God bless. See you on the flip side, kids.